This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Just to catch you all up at home, Miel is now saying she can sing the entire Diva song from The Fifth Element. Miel, would you like to prove this on air right now?
No!
This is how we're starting.
I also can tell you the last part. The stones are in me.
Is that when she's like,
oh! Yeah. No, she's like, and your love.
It's time for
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Hey.
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, it's an all-new Punch Up the Jam.
It's kind of not, though, because we're not punching up a jam.
Sure is. Sure aren't.
Sure is not.
Sure is not.
If you came here for a Punch Up Jam, leave now and don't
you
be mad.
You should have looked at the title.
I'm so sorry.
You fool.
We have so many Q's and so many A's.
Well, we might have less A's than we've got Q's, but we've certainly got a lot of Q's from a lot of U's.
Exactly.
So let's answer.
Also, like, I feel like we just breezed right past. Hi.
Oh, hello.
Hi, hello.
Howdy. How are you guys? Oh, wait, no.
They can't answer.
Damn it. Really fucked this one up. How are you, Miel?
Well, let's see. When this comes out, I am currently chilling hard.
Nice.
Taking my little sums break.
That's great.
Probably not actually chilling that hard, though, because I have a self-worth complex, so I'm always working.
Sure.
But still supposedly chilling hard. How are you?
Oh, so when this comes out, I just broke my leg. which is unfortunate timing, but I knew it was going to happen.
The prophecy is true.
The stones are within me. You know so much more about The Fifth Element than I do.
So we are currently in the middle of our hiatus. We'll be back in a couple weeks. We thought it would be nice to throw a little bone to all our friends, not leave you high and dry for a whole 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a little Q&A episode. We solicited some Qs, emails, Twitter, Instagram. Y'all sent them in. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now we're just going to, I guess, answer them?
Yeah.
Do we have a format for this?
Nope.
Okay.
Who needs a format when you've already got the podcast? You don't need to do more work.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
No, but I liked it.
All right.
I do support you.
Thank you so much. I really need it right now.
I feel like we should answer the most asked first.
Okay.
And it seems like everybody is clamoring to know our
critics are raving.
Critics are asking, what's our friendship origin story?
We met at a party, correct?
Yeah. God, I guess I haven't really thought about it. We met at a party in late July 2014?
Yes.
Yeah?
I want to say yes.
It was a Vine meetup.
It sure was.
It was so weird. Someone rented an apartment in, like, Hollywood.
They rented that apartment?
Yeah, no one lived there.
Oh, wow.
It was like an Airbnb that someone rented exclusively to throw a huge Vine meetup that got way out of hand.
That's
real
insane.
Quick. Oh, it was wild. Vine was a crazy time.
Yeah.
You showed up, and I didn't know you, and I don't think you knew me, right?
I didn't know you, but you did know me.
Well, after a couple minutes, I was like, oh, wait, I've seen your vines. You did that crazy printer one. I was like, the one I knew. And then I think I immediately told you that I had recently unfollowed you.
You did?
I vaguely remember this.
I think that might have been when I was like, whoa, I gotta impress this girl. What's her deal?
I don't know why I said that. That's so mean.
I do distinctly remember, A, you were high.
Oh, for sure.
And you couldn't have cared less about anyone or anything that was going on.
Nah.
But there was a point at which we were like sitting down and like talking to each other and you just got up and walked away and I was like, whoa.
What? I did?
Yes. And then from that point on, I was just kind of like, does she hate me? What's going on? And I was just like obsessed with like making you think I was cool for the rest of the night.
That's the way to play it.
I guess, but like,
play hard to get with your friendships?
Yeah. And then I was just kind of like, I got to impress her. What's going on here? And then we hung out again because my birthday was shortly after that.
So I think there was another meetup because people were in town and they were just like wine parties every night for like 2 weeks
that
summer.
I did not like that.
So I don't think we like necessarily connected that first night. But then that second hang, I was like, oh, hey, guy from that other party. What's your name again? Cool. I had just gotten Snapchat and you taught me how to use it.
Oh, yeah.
And I vaguely remember wearing an In-N-Out paper hat that you then took into Snapchat and drew a bunch of dicks on. So I
sure did.
Dick crown.
Yep.
And I was like, that's funny. This dude rules. And I was like, hey, so how old are you? Whatever. And you're like, well, I'm about to be 22. Oh, my God. Were you only 21 when we met?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Wow.
And then I was like, what are you doing for your birthday? And you're like, well, I just moved here. Nothing.
Yeah.
working at my office manager job.
Correct.
And I was like, nah, dude, you gotta go out. Come out with me. I'll buy you a beer.
Yeah, we went to the Black Cat in Silver Lake.
I bought you a singular Rolling Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, happy birthday, goodbye. And
I remember I went home and like slept on my floor that night. I was like, oh, I have a friend. That's kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I guess it just kind of, I don't know, the rest is history.
Yeah. And then from that point on, it was just like we were constantly free. So we'd hang out a lot. And like we had like other friends that it was like, well, we're all free. Let's just go hang out. Or it's like you'd come to the office where I worked after
all
hours
the time.
And we would just hang out there.
All the time. We were just literally in your office at 2 a.m. like joking around. We joked around so much. It was like high school.
Great. It was awesome. But I also think now like it's fun to have stories that it's like you couldn't talk about them while they were happening because you would get in trouble. Like you guys being in my office every day when everyone was left and it's like, well, I have the keys. Come on and hang in the studio.
Oh, every night, dude.
Yeah.
I don't even know what we possibly could have done.
I don't.
To me now, I'm like, that sounds so boring.
Yeah, but it was fun at the time.
Oh, it was so fun.
Yeah.
It was just like this weird little time and place where like we both suddenly were like children.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. I had a job. I owned my own company.
You had
a job. Like there was no reason that happened. It just did.
We made it work.
And then here we are, podcast hosts of the century.
And then we slept for 4 years and we're like, what do they do now?
We Rip Van Winkled ourselves on purpose.
Mm-hmm. I guess that is our origin story.
I know, how do you end that?
That's it's ended.
We need like a sound cue when we're done with a question.
Okay, I got one.
Okay. Perfect. Okay.
There we go.
And that's how we signify we're moving on to the next
one. Moving on to the next one.
Choose one, you get one.
Okay. What's your favorite vinyl record and why?
Oh, shit. That's a choice question. I thought we were going to warm up to the hard ones.
I can skip it and come back.
Nah, dude, I like a challenge.
Okay.
Okay, do you want to go first?
Are
we both answering everything? Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably,
yes.
Right? Okay, you go first.
So, okay, this is kind of, because someone also asked, is there an unpunchable album? And I think it would be the same thing. Just like, if you have a record that you're like, this one's perfect. For me, my favorite album is In Rainbows by Radiohead.
Yes!
I do think that's an unpunchable vinyl record. I own that album in 4 different formats.
Wait, what are the 4? Cassette deck, Laserdisc,
no.
CD.
You went way
Bluetooth.
Too far back. Yes, I own it in Bluetooth. No, I own a vinyl record, and then I bought the digital version, and then I think I own 2 different CDs of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I own 1 bootleg CD my high school boyfriend made for me, and it's still in my car.
Nice. It's got longevity, because one of my CDs, I'm pretty sure, is, like, broken or something.
Oh, you could borrow mine, dude.
Oh, thank you so much. I do need the 4, just in case the other 3 break down.
I'm curious, on vinyl, you have a record player, you listen to vinyl.
Yep.
Where is the split on the album? That's like, I feel like that, to me, is the difference between the unpunchable album and the favorite vinyl question.
Mm.
Because we don't really consume music as albums that much anymore.
That's true.
And I feel like part of the art of the perfect vinyl assembly
mm-hmm.
is where you place the songs.
That's true.
In relationship to when you have to flip it.
In that case, I will say another favorite vinyl of mine to play is Mass Seduction by St. Vincent because the split, it feels like the second half of that album is so solemn and sad
mm-hmm.
and like the first half is not. So it's fun to just be like, you know what? I'm not in the mood for a sad St. Vincent right now and just listen to the half of the album.
Yeah.
That's like exciting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's still a great album. So if I wanted to, I could flip it, but that's a good one-sider.
Probably mine. I know it's cliche. I'm embarrassed about it, but I gotta go Rumors by Fleetwood Mac.
That's not cliche.
I mean, it's such like an overplayed, overhyped album, but...
For a reason, though.
I don't currently have vinyl. I had a... Let's say, a romantic relationship for a few years, and we shared our vinyl
Christine
collection.
McVie.
And he kept all of it, and he kept the vinyl player. So I don't have anything. I am a penniless, vinylless sitar player. Moulin Rouge Ref, you wouldn't get it.
I haven't seen a movie.
It's fine.
wait, so even the ones that were like yours?
Yeah, but if I didn't keep the means of playing
that's
it, why
true.
Would I keep them? So I lost all my vinyl, and that's fine. Honestly, I'm kind of a minimalist anyway. But I do remember at that specific time was like when I first kind of started really getting to Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
So it's like nostalgic, but also I think that's a great spot to flip. I feel like it's just a great album to have on vinyl. I recommend everyone. I think that's like a staple in a vinyl collection.
I'm pretty sure I have it on vinyl. Or at least, I think the last time I checked, I have the sleeve and I can't find the record, which is not a good sign.
Wait, how do you lose a giant record?
That's what I'm saying. And you've seen my records.
Oh, yeah.
There's nowhere that it would be. It's not like a pile.
No.
So it's just gone.
I left it under my bed!
Maybe the Tooth Fairy took that shit.
Yeah, what's the prize for a vinyl under the pillow?
A man from Brooklyn breaks into your house at night and exchanges it for gold.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Or for teeth.
For teeth.
He just puts some teeth down.
He gives you teeth.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah! Question's over.
Okay. I was wondering if you might be considering making straight songs. The punch-ups are great, but you too could make beautiful music.
Okay, well, first of all, I would only make gay songs. So
correct.
Rude fucking question.
Yeah, let's just end that right now. No, I'm kidding.
I used to do that. I don't know how to answer this one without answering a bunch of them. Maybe we should just open it up to the broader question of...
Yeah.
Are you trained? How'd you get into music?
Sure.
Da, 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 da. Is it cool if I answer first?
Go for it.
I always played music and grew up in a musical household, obviously. You know my dad. Played piano growing up, guitar, sang, was in all kinds of productions at the community theater, whatever. And then realized I wanted to pursue songwriting professionally and moved to LA in 2008 and had a band. A bunch of songs, recorded them, took all these classes, learned how to write songs, and it kind of got in my fucking head. Like this idea of, for example, don't bore us, get to the chorus, and all these other horrible catchphrases that just remove any artistry from songwriting and turn it completely into just like a commercial vacuum.
Yeah.
And then my band broke up. Unfortunately, I did date my bandmate, so hey, hopefully go to Mac again.
You gotta.
We broke up, and then the band broke up, and then all the songs I had written kind of just were like, what do I do with these now? And then I like tried to reinvent myself as a solo artist. It was not a good time for music at that time. Right. MySpace was kind of going down. YouTube was like only really covers. There was no real way to get your music out there. Record labels were bleeding money. So I kind of was like, oh, I gotta get a day job, and stopped. And I really haven't revisited making music at all until this podcast, actually.
Oh, wow.
So I have a ton of straight songs. I'm not going to call them straight songs.
I don't even know what to say.
I have a ton of pansexual songs.
Right.
But I don't like any of them now because I've grown too much as a person. As an artist, I would never share them.
Do you think that you would ever create new pansexual jams?
I mean, yeah, definitely, like, the urge is still there. It's not like the desire to do that ever went away. Mm. It's just a matter of how do you make that make sense when you have a different career and you spend every waking moment on it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like I'm ever just sitting at home on a Sunday being like, what am I gonna do? Like,
right.
I'm constantly doing something that's pretty unrelated to, like, what if I just made an EP? It's kind of like the Rishi conversation of, like, Master of None. I don't know. It feels like spreading myself too thin might be a mistake. So
yeah.
I guess no, I don't really have an interest in it. What about you?
I have absolutely no interest in...
Have you ever written a song?
No. Not any song that was not a joke.
Mm.
I think there have been times where I've like written down things where I'm like, that would be a cool line in a song that was serious. But then I also ultimately come to the conclusion that it's like any music that I would want to make that is serious is... something that's either too vulnerable for me to want to do or is something that I couldn't do without. I think that a lot of times the best, any of the music that I like is something that I'm like, I'm not capable of writing that. I'm not capable of producing that. So I don't want to do it. And any of the music that I'm like, I could make that, I have no interest in making. So I just wouldn't.
Why do you think you're not capable of making the kind of songs you want to make?
Because I think that the things that I generally... like the songs that I'm like, holy shit, that's cool, involve a lot more artistry and like technical talent that I am capable of. And therefore, it's like I would need to learn more about music and how music works. And I would need to like focus in on, it would need to be like the thing that I'm going for. And it's not, so I can't just casually make a brilliant song.
Right, yeah, it would be a pretty big investment of time and energy that you are currently spending on other things.
Exactly, and it's not... there's no part of me that wants to be like a serious musician, so I'm just kind of like,
oh, come on. You've never like gone to a show and been like, oh, I want to be up there.
We went to Beach House the other day and we talked about this and how it's like, it's the idea of being a rock star performing on a stage is exciting.
Uh-huh.
The idea of making the music to get to that point to me is not. Like,
yeah.
There's like a movie that I've wanted to make out of this very concept where it's like being a rock star is fun until you have to embrace the idea that like your work is a vulnerable thing. And how do you show vulnerability on stage while also being like, no, I just want to do rock
kick
music.
Ass.
Yeah. And it's like, it's a very exciting idea, but I am not interested in actually, which is why it's like, if I were to be a performer, I'd be a drummer, because I'm just sitting in the back just rocking out. I don't want to do any of the stuff
so
that everyone's like.
So it kind of sounds like, and like, not to get too Marc Maron on you, but it kind of sounds like you really struggle with the vulnerability required to write songs.
Yeah, because it's not something that comes naturally to me, and it's also not, I feel like that's opening up yourself in a way that I never want to do to a big audience.
Really?
I am not.
Why?
It just feels like opening up yourself to an audience invites all of these things where it's like, people are just going like, what your work means to me is what it is, and what you have done in a way of dealing with your own stuff is now taking on this different meaning for me. And it's just like, you have no control over
the narrative.
Right. If you were to write, like, I'm trying to think of just a very popular song that is something that someone wrote out of, like, a pain in their life.
Oh, Taylor Swift has done it a bunch, right?
Sure. Let's say that she wrote a song that was about a breakup that was super, super hard for her. Mm-hmm. And, like, the song is her way of dealing with it and, like, getting that out there. Once you get that out there, it's just a song for anyone to do whatever they want with. You have no control over what the message is unless you're, like, going on a million interviews saying, this is what it is, it's nothing else. The work means something to everyone else. It's just not. It's kind of like if you were to do therapy and then just release the notes of therapy. So I'm just, it's not, I have no interest in it. And also, I don't think I'm the kind of person who likes the idea of my feelings and, like, my emotional state being something that people are all too aware of.
Like, you don't like being seen.
I don't. And I'm very much
you're
like,
you're the opposite of Avatar.
Of what?
Avatar.
What do you mean?
I see you, Jake Sully.
Oh, okay, right. Sorry. That's my favorite movie. I should have known that quote. I think a lot of times I am just kind of like, laugh at me, and that's the end of our interaction.
Okay, I know this is getting long-winded now, but I'm genuinely interested. Do you not feel like there are similarities between writing and songwriting in that sense, that even though maybe you're writing something that's funny, it's still coming from a place of pain or experience?
I almost never write anything that is biographical, though.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you've seen the things I've written.
Yeah, I figured some of them must have at least been somewhat relatable to you.
I feel like I write characters that have traits of myself in them, but then I put them in situations that are not me at all.
Uh-huh.
Which is more exciting to me. And then also, I'm just kind of like, I don't, this has nothing to do with me. It's just how I would deal with this scenario.
I understand that and I respect it, but it also bums me out because holy shit, would I love to see your Lady Bird.
Oh, my Lady Bird would be terrible.
Yeah, you say that, but you have a fucking interesting life. Like, you are an immigrant.
Sure.
From another country.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents are from a different country than that.
Yes.
You grew up in a rich white suburb in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Already, I'm like, tell me more. You were, like, in internet forums as a young child. You memes go viral of you before those were even a thing.
Yep.
Like, there's just so much that I'm like, oh, I'm so interested in that. And you're like, it's boring.
I think because it's my life, I've just been like, no, yeah, what more do you want? Like, that's the entire story.
See, that's to me, I'm like, you're not a real writer then.
Maybe
find
not.
Find the story!
No, I'm like, I'll find the story in this other idea that is not real.
This fantasy fiction.
Yes.
I mean, I respect it. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life.
Thank
I am
you so
saying,
much.
If you ever do want to come around to the dark side of exploiting
of
your own life.
Of making ladybirds?
Making ladybirds.
As we call them now.
Yeah, make the ladybird. I will buy 100 tickets.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so unnecessary. Oh, and just to answer the second part, because we were
what was the second
well,
part?
About musical training and whatnot, because you're saying we should open it up
oh,
to
oh, I do have musical training.
Yes.
I know music theory well enough to sound like I know what I'm talking about, but not well enough to hang with actual musicians.
Word.
Same with my instrumentation.
I have no training and don't really know. Like, so my only experiences with music, like, to get me into music was as a kid. Throughout all of fourth grade, I did not go to lunch. I would just go to... No, this was by choice.
Okay.
I would go to the music room and just teach myself songs on the piano in there.
By ear?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute.
But it was like, I was trying to learn The Entertainer for like 3 weeks, and then when I finally got it, I would like take my friends to the
school. Wait, it's The Entertainer? It's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah. Exactly that. And when I fucking nailed it, I would like bring a friend to the music room at lunch and just be like, oh yeah, let's just fuck around on the piano. Let's see, I don't know. Let me just try something. I'd play The Entertainer and just be like, oh yeah, I don't know. I've been working on that for a bit.
That's so cute. I can't believe you didn't choose like a modern pop song.
No, I was just, I don't,
<You're> like,
now that I think about
did
it.
Did I teach myself for at least maybe?
Weird. Chopsticks. Here we go. But I did that for a while.
Did it work? Did it go well with the friends? Were they like impressed or did it backfire?
Well, no, because a lot of my friends also played piano. So they were just like, yeah, no, that's The Entertainer. And I was like, yeah, pretty good, huh?
You're like looking cool. around waiting for applause. They're like, yeah, cool. Like, did you want to get lunch or are you skipping it?
No, they would just go, cool, my turn. And they just play like 1,000 miles perfectly. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's chill. That's chill. So my turn again.
Oh, God. You just described like every high school party.
Yeah.
People just be like, yo, can I get that guitar? Dude, can I get that guitar?
I'm
so glad it was
not with guitar.
I can't believe you're as competent as you are without knowing that stuff.
The way that you can learn music now is also so, like,
yeah, you can watch a YouTube video.
You can watch a YouTube video. That's how I taught myself every computer thing I know. Like, really? Throughout middle school and high school, I would just spend summers like just watching After Effects tutorials until I was just
so
making.
Yeah, you're so good at After Effects.
Just fucking watch, like, doing, spending summers like putting Arrested Development on mute and watching that in the background while listening to like Video Copilot guys teach me how to make an explosion in After Effects.
Dude, this is so wild to me because we are so close in age. I'm 3 years older than you. It is really not a big difference. But that completely missed me. YouTube came out like and became popular when I was a senior in high school.
Right.
If I wanted to learn stuff when I was like in that such developmental stages, I had to like read about it in like MSN and Carta.
It's also insane to me now whenever I think about something like this where I just kind of in my head, I'm like, well, a lot of people probably did this. And
I think it's very common for people exactly your age.
Yeah. But I still think like there are times where I will talk about doing something and people were just like, what? How? And I'm just like, oh, I don't know. It's on a computer. Everyone knows how to use a computer.
But you hang out
with
a lot of people older than you.
That's true.
Yeah. So someone to me and probably even older than me, it's like, what the fuck? Like the other day, I should say a few months ago, I made a YouTube video about it, so I can't lie. I had the realization that kids these days can learn how to do makeup from YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And it made me furious because I was like, you never had to go through this phase of just buying random products from your local pharmacy and going, I guess I'll figure out what this does and smashing on your face and making a fool of yourself in front of the entire school for years.
I think so much about how just because it was a thing for me where like as a kid, you do shit that becomes... It's like you embarrass yourself on the internet and then that lives on way longer than you want it to. And
that's the risk with your generation.
Oh, it's the risk, but it's also like every kid's going to have that. And I'm just so worried about the future of...
Especially because you can't delete it.
No, you can't delete it.
Never.
And it's like it won't even be things that are that embarrassing, but someone will have held on to it. Yep. And then whenever that comes out, I want the first question everyone asks to be like, why did you hold on to that?
Yep.
Not what are they doing?
Right.
And that's the first thing that I'm going to say when there are like gifts of me dancing when I was 14. And I'm just going to be like, why do you have that?
Dude, can we share the Shrek picture when we post this episode?
The Shrek? Oh, it was Yoda.
Oh, I'm so sorry. The picture where you painted green paint all over your face.
Sure
and
can.
Sat on your knees.
Yeah, because I wanted to win an Xbox.
God, can you just explain that briefly? Because that doesn't make any sense
out
of context.
So as a youngin', I was part of a video game forum known as Destructoid, which is still a website that exists. I was big into it. I was big into video games, and I say was, but it's like I still talk with a lot of those people. Like,
oh, yeah.
They're friends
with
mine on
Twitter. You've
made
lifelong friends from that forum.
Absolutely. But it's crazy. I think like some of the people who are just like big on media Twitter now, it's like we knew each other, and it's like, yeah, because of Destructoid. Such a dumb name to say, but I love and respect everyone from that place. But it was like just a video game forum, and I was like a 13-year-old kid just very excited to talk to people online.
That's
and
so sweet.
I got more into that than I did into like hanging with friends like in real life.
Which
so
is
it was
why
just,
you're so weird.
Yes,
no,
and
I'm
why I'm
kidding.
So fucking like, I just isolate myself all the time, I think, is because of stuff like that. I was just a goofy kid online there, and they were all just like, this kid's crazy. He's so fucking weird and goofy. He'll do anything. And at one point, they had a competition to win an Xbox 360. It was like sponsored by Soul Calibur 4 or whatever. And they were like,
"Oh hell yeah,
do cosplay as one of the characters that appears in Soul Calibur 4." And I was like, "Well, which one of these characters can I do?" And I
saw Voldo, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a 14-year-old with just a fucking spiky little cup on his dick. That's definitely going to go over well with a video game forum. But I was just kind of like, oh, I see that there are Star Wars characters in this. I have an idea. By the way, I had not... At this point, I had still not seen Star Wars.
Debbie!
I didn't see...
You fucking poser, dude!
Hey, yeah, okay, but I want a video game from it, so fuck you.
True.
But I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to do Yoda. So I got a little blanket. I painted myself green.
Not face paint.
No.
Regular paint.
With regular paint. It is so visibly regular paint. And then I did that little thing where you put your knees in your shoes to make yourself seem shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Cover myself with a blanket, and then I had a hockey stick that was like a cane, and I'm doing this face that looks like I just got surprised. I set up a camera.
We're definitely posting this picture.
Yeah, we'll post it. I set up the camera with a timer, and I was just doing that thing. And I posted that photo. Everyone was like, this is great! Fucking laughing
you win
at me.
Contest over!
No, I got second place. I think the first place was a guy who did Voldo, though.
Oh! come on. They didn't give it to the little Yoda?
They didn't give it to little Yoda.
God damn,
really
dude.
Fucked up. I did so many dumb things for the internet, though. I'm sure I won.
But see, that's really funny to me. I know I'm going so Marc Maron right now.
No.
It's so funny to me that you're talking about not wanting to be vulnerable with like writing songs and that you don't write from personal experience. And yet you have no problem posting a picture of yourself full green paint on your face onto the internet.
Well, there's a difference between making fun of yourself and opening yourself up to...
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah, yeah.
I think it is a big... now this is just straight up therapy. I think it's a big thing for me that I am okay with making fun of myself. I'm okay with like... being the butt of a joke until it becomes a joke where it's like more about laughing at me or like making me feel bad than it is about like the idea that it's like, oh, he did something funny.
Yeah, you can control it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is how Twitter, like, I feel like there's so much of a concept around things like Twitter where it's just like you putting yourself out there, it means that you deserve to be made fun of. And I think that one is such a big thing for me that I'm just like, well, then I don't want to be a part of this anymore.
Yeah, sincerity is really, can go either way on the internet.
Yeah.
I'm trying to bring it back, though. I miss it. In fact, that is, I know we're talking about movies again, but eighth grade, I'm like, yes. Yeah. I am so excited about this type of content potentially having a comeback because I miss sincerity. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm tired of everything being fucking caustic and like, I know David Foster Wallace is like a bad dude, but like his comments on irony and how it's kind of the death of art, I really agree with.
Irony is poisoning like every young mind, and it has been for ages. And I feel like even as a kid, I was just kind of like, it's weird how often we talk about things that we don't like just to say that it sucks or just to like.
It's not productive.
Yeah.
And it feels like. You can't be creative in that space.
Like all the shit that's happening with the James Gunn stuff right now. It's like, that's because there was a long period of the internet where just saying the worst possible thing was what we considered humor.
Yes.
And it's like, we can kill that. We don't ever have to bring that back up again.
No.
But then it's like, well, then what do we have left? And it's like, I don't know. Why
how
do
about we just make good shit?
There's so much good shit to make. You can just be positive and not be a dick. You can be a dick in a way that is so clearly not pointed at anyone.
Make fun of yourself.
Make fun of yourself. Yeah. Make fun of corporations. Punch up. Don't fucking like be like, I'm so mad that people do astrology. Like, just fucking, who cares?
Let people enjoy shit if it doesn't hurt other people. Right.
Except the only thing that I think you shouldn't be allowed to enjoy is the franchise Deadpool. And that's really it.
I thought for sure you were going to say LaCroix.
Okay, Deadpool and LaCroix are the two bad things.
But Deadpool is purely irony. That is why I feel like it's hard to enjoy for me, because I'm like, you're not actually saying anything. You're just commenting on other shit.
It's not funny to just say a thing that we saw elsewhere.
Yes,
anyway,
thank you.
I'm not going to scream about Deadpool. Enjoy Deadpool if you want. I will not be there.
Oh, nice.
Okay, do we have another question?
I feel like we went so deep on that one, we got to do like a lighthearted one now.
Yeah. Here, I'll answer this easy question then. Someone asked, what are all the samples in the theme song from? Good question. Obviously, the base of the song is You Can Call Me Al by Paul Simon. Then you have the...
Oh, segue into another question. Why?
Oh, right. Yeah, someone asked that. Literally, the joke is just from one of the first episodes we did, Miel started singing You Can Call Me Al.
But I said Miel.
Right, because that's her name.
It sounds like my name.
And that's literally it. And then I played it in the episode, and I was just kind of like, well, let's just keep that.
Yeah, it felt actually so organic that it almost seemed fake.
Yes.
But it just worked. I don't know.
Yeah, there was no, there's no greater thing behind it.
So wait, what are the samples in it?
Then you hear the first Punch It, which is Vin Diesel in Fast and Furious 7. And then you hear someone saying, It's Time For, which I believe is from Silicon Valley. I'm not, one of the episodes, I don't know which one. And then you hear Punch, and that's Andy Samberg in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And then Up the Jam, which is Technotronic from Pump Up the Jam.
God, yeah.
And then you have all the like little hays and ha's, which is just like, I think one of them's Lil Jon, some are UGK. It's just like different ad libs of people going, yeah, or hey.
That's a lot of songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be any song.
It's so impressive. I really think we have like the greatest theme song in history.
Ever?
Yeah, I think so.
Fair enough.
I think so. Oh, here's a fun one. What's the most embarrassing story you can tell about each other?
I saw this one and I was like, you have too many for me and I can't think of one for you.
I have the power!
The closest I can come is just how many times you dated guys where it's like, me or someone else, like one of our friends will be like, hey, don't do this. And then you do and you're like, that was bad. And we're like, yeah.
I think to my my credit, I've grown up a lot since then. Sure. But we met at an interesting time in my trajectory.
Oh, yeah.
I was just, like, really down to make a lot of mistakes.
I hate that I know who the cum zone story was about.
I hate that that happened to me.
Yeah. I know so much about that relation. Anyway.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, when you're friends for too long, you have too many receipts on each other.
Yeah. It's although I can't pull up any of them right now.
Which is just like, you don't have to. That's fine.
Fuck you.
I won't do it to you. I'll tell a story about my ex instead.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll do.
I will say this. You don't eat real human food.
I do. You just never see me do it.
I have spent almost entire days with you where you have not eaten it.
Okay. Yeah, that is true. I do sometimes go entire days without eating and it's not
you
good.
You eat like a baby.
Okay.
You eat so... Is there a day that goes by where you don't eat candy?
Yes. Most... No, I don't eat candy most of the time.
I have never seen you not eat candy when we're hanging out.
That's because we'll hang out in a studio that most of the food is candy.
Well, one time
or we'll
I got,
walk by a 7-Eleven.
One time I got in your car and it was absolutely stuffed to the brim with cookies and cream Hershey wrappers.
Yeah.
And then your drink of choice is Lime-A-Ritas in a can.
Okay. Not in the same scenario, first of all.
Someone asked me what was a good gift to get you. And they were like, I was thinking about getting him a nice bottle of mezcal. And I was like, maybe try like a case of Lime-A-Ritas.
Yeah.
So fuck funny you. To me.
Because I got a Lime-A-Rita one time and I tweeted her or I texted her about it the entire time I was drinking them and showing her how tiny the cans were. And she was like, why are you drinking them? I was like, I don't know. I saw them and they look cute. So I bought them.
I think that your taste in things that you like aren't super educated about is very endearing.
Yeah.
It's
sure.
very funny.
Thank you for calling it endearing.
Well, you know so much about everything. So when there's like a single subject, you're like, I don't know. It tastes good.
Yeah.
It's so fucking funny.
Yeah. I don't need to explore my drink choices.
Nah, you got better things to do, like write scripts for TV shows.
Yeah. Or eat entire Hershey's bars. Are those even embarrassing answers?
No, the truth is I would never expose you. That's mean.
You don't have anything to expose me with.
I mean, I do.
What?
I'm not gonna say on air.
Hmm.
It's mean. They're mostly girl related.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Wait,
they're mean.
In what way? Now I do wanna know. Here, say it and then I'll be like, oh, cut that.
Okay, like
Wait. Let's take a break.
You snake.
Okay, now tell me what you were talking about.
Okay, we have a mutual friend.
Yes.
Who at one point you had a little crush on.
Mm-hmm.
And you were a little, I don't even think you were drunk. You maybe had like one drink and you were like trying to, I don't know, maybe be kind of like funny. I don't really understand what you were doing to be honest, but you like decided to try to like... do a little kick move off a wall.
Oh my God. I don't know. I thought this story was going somewhere else. I was like, what? I did not do this anything to... Yeah, no. That's embarrassing in that...
Wait. No, I gotta finish. You did a little kick move off a wall.
Yep.
Landed weird.
Mm-hmm.
Really hurt your ankle.
Yes.
Made quite a big scene about it.
Yeah.
Were very hurt. Couldn't really walk. Had to like go to the doctor and like wear crutches for a few days.
Correct.
And the move you were trying to do wasn't even a little
bit
cool.
It was just I was trying to jump over a curb.
Just unprompted.
This is not as embarrassing as I thought it was going to be.
If this happened to me, it would be one of the most embarrassing stories of my life.
I think because it's been so long since and because I've joked about it so often and because I see her all the time, I'm just kind of like, yeah, that was dumb. Does she know that I was trying to impress her? Also, let me clarify. I was not trying to impress her with the move. I was just like, what's a cool and casual thing to do right now to show that I'm a cool and casual guy?
God, that's funny.
And I was like, well, I'm just going to jump backwards over this curb.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm so proud of how far you've come since then.
I would still do that.
No, you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't.
You're so much more confident as a person now.
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, you have not seen me on a date recently.
I guess that's true. Have you hurt your ankle jumping over curbs to impress your dates?
Nope, but I've hurt my spirit. I'm just cycling through the little clips I've got.
Why not? It's like a fun callback.
Yeah, it is. Remember? It's like a mini clip show.
Oh, my brother asked us a question.
Henry!
Friend of the podcast, Henry Bardot. Serial killer / serial mascot you most relate to. It's a little wordplay he did there.
Ha.
I think I know mine. Serial killer easy, Eileen Wuornos.
Well,
Wuornos.
Obviously.
Wuornos. I don't know how to say her name.
Yeah.
Because I believe her.
Yeah.
I think it was self-defense.
Well, not a serial killer.
She is on the record as saying, I am a serial killer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then how is it self-defense?
Because she killed a lot of them. I don't really know. I saw Mindhunter, but that's about as far as I go with serial killers.
Every time someone says Mindhunter, I just think Mind Freak, and I'm like, that's a different thing. Mindhunter.
I will say serial mascot, fucking none of them, because there's not a single female serial mascot. So I can't relate to any of those.
Wow. Is that? Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Right? I mean, maybe we can make the argument about Toucan Sam. Sam is, you know, could go either way. But other than that, they're all men. It's kind of fucked, right?
Put a lady on the Wheaties box. Yeah. Or, well, Wheaties is just people. Cool. No, we're not doing a double thing right now.
I felt that maybe it was going to happen. Yeah. The collapse got me excited.
Sorry about that.
What's yours?
Probably Count Chocula.
That's an easy one.
I know. It's because I got fangs and I love the nightlife.
Oh, I thought it was the chocolate thing.
You racist.
Well,
that
I said women. I thought you were going to be like, there's no black ones. And you were like, Count Chocula's the closest I
get. First of all, of the cereal mascots are black. Every one of them. Even if you think they're white, they're black.
Oh, okay.
Tony the Tiger is a black man.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's great. Representation for the black community.
I thought we were doing a bit that we weren't doing. Now I just sound racist.
No.
That's my mistake. Where's the button for when you do something not woke?
Oh, it's called delete.
Oh, right, okay.
So we'll just start this over.
Bleep it out.
Welcome to Punch Up the Jam. Oh, Cookie Crisp Wolf, black man.
Cookie Crisp Wolf.
Gay black man, wolf? Even. Cookie Crisp.
Oh, God. I love how we're so desperate for representation. We're forcing it.
Yeah. Fruit Brute is a lesbian woman.
Who the fuck's Fruit Brute?
Fruit Brute from the, like, Frankenberry, Fruit Brute, Count Chocula, the whole monster squad of cereals.
Girl, I grew up on an island. We didn't have those cereals.
Wow. That's why you think there are no women.
I just haven't been exposed to them.
I guess so. I'm definitely the Smackums frog.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I'm 100% the Smackums frog.
What's the serial killer?
Oh, John Wayne Gacy.
The senior, the dad.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm very disappointed in my son.
Yeah, sure.
No, I'm not any of the serial killers. But if I had to pick, Ted Bundy, because he was hot.
Oh, no. If you're going to pick a hot one, pick Jeffrey Dahmer.
Is he hotter?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm Dahmer.
But, like, strike that for the record, because that's a horrible thing to say about a horrible man.
I mean, they're all bad. What do you want from me?
Yeah, true. Henry, fuck you for this question.
This is a trap.
Hold up. Red carpet dick, just roll out.
Red carpet dick's gotta be one of my favorite lyrics of all time.
Actually, that'll take me to this question. What's your favorite episode of Punch Up the Jam? Because I think mine is the What's Your Fantasy one.
Oh, it's so good.
It was so fun.
It's so fun.
I wanted to say the first time we both just sat on the same side.
Did we?
Yeah. Because I remember just like leaning back and laughing when we were talking about which of the presidents fucked in the Oval Office. And I was like, this is fun.
I don't know that I have a favorite episode. I really like the Nookie one.
Yeah.
Jamie just destroyed me on that.
She's great.
She's so funny. And also, Nookie's just a funny song.
I like that one especially because I didn't know it before we did this, the punch-up, so I was just kind of like, what is this? People love this song?
I especially like the episodes where the song isn't necessarily known for the commentary we're about to have on it.
Right.
Those are my favorite. Like, yeah. As much as it's great to do, like, next, too close. Guys, this song's about boners! Like, kind of everyone knows that.
Right.
I prefer to find a song that's like, have you paid attention to this part and really thought about how insane it is? I.e. the Hall & Oates episode. It's like, now listen to this! That's an insane thing to say halfway through a song.
It's always more fun to do one where if you Google the song, you aren't going to get 14 articles about how it's actually about this.
Yeah, we are pioneers of the critique. Now listen to this!
I put it in two separate ones because I wanted to just do the owl sometimes.
This is very funny to me, and I don't know why they asked me this. I have not posted about flower beds before. They asked me how best can I prevent my lawn from encroaching on the adjacent flower beds.
Because of the, what's that thing that you've got on your cactuses that are...
Oh, cochineal scale.
Yeah.
Cochineal scale.
Cochineal.
Did you guys know there's this big, puffy, white pest that infects virtually every prickly pear cactus?
Yes, I know who Rick Rubin is. As soon as you said prickly white pest, I was like, all right, I've got about 10 seconds to think of a big white guy.
Holy shit, that was good.
She said Santa Claus.
I'd high five you if I could reach you.
It's fine.
We're 30 feet apart from each other.
we record at one of those long dining
banquet tables. Yeah. Yes, with all candles between us. Mm-hmm. No food. You can't see the table. It's full of candles.
Our butler has to go from one end to the other.
We share one microphone. Yeah, the scale infects these cacti, but here's the crazy part about the scale. It is the color. When you touch it, it's a huge, like, I don't know if it's blood, whatever. It releases this massively bright red color that is the source of food dye.
Yeah.
It's like the commonly used red food dye that's like in makeup, in food, whatever. And they're all over my cactus.
Ugh.
And I can't get them to go away. And I'm like, hey, should I just save all these dudes and make like a ton of lipstick? Like, what do I do?
You
What's
should.
Like the vegan way right now? I'm going to have to get rid of them.
Could you make lipstick from it? Like,
that's literally what's in lipstick.
No, but I'm saying like, is there not like enough processing stuff that has to be done that
I mean,
you
I'm
could
sure
do it yourself?
There is. This is another tangent, but like when you become vegan and you start really having to like look at ingredients and understand what comes from where, there's some crazy shit that we put in food. For example, confectioner's glaze has a couple different names.
Mm.
It is the thing that makes like jelly beans shiny. It's yeah. Or Mike and Ike's or like anything that's like super glossy. It's confectioner's glaze. Guess what it is?
Oh no, is it cactus cum?
No, because that's vegan.
Oh, great.
Ooh, cactus cum is tasty, and you should definitely try a Nepalis taco if you've never had one.
Ooh, I'm coming over. What is it?
Getting some of that cum. It is, and you really have to ask how someone figured this out. There's a specific type of beetle, I believe, and when you heat it up as a defense mechanism, because it's like, I'm about to die, shit,
yeah.
It excretes this liquid.
Ugh.
And someone was like, yo, what if we took that liquid and put it on some candy? And it's the commonly used modern practice for candy.
Jesus.
It's what makes a lot of otherwise vegan candy not vegan. How in the fuck did they figure that out?
I mean, think of any food. Like, who was the first person to drink milk?
Well, that to me a little bit makes sense, even though it's disgusting. I'm
just
like,
the idea
you
of the
saw
first...
a titty and you were like, I have those. I
hold
know
on,
what's
hold
in there.
On. Yeah.
But why it's not other animals, I don't understand.
I don't know.
Like, why in the fuck you're not like, hey, you know what looks a lot more like a human titty? A monkey titty. I'm going to drink that milk.
Well, can monkeys be milked?
Hell yeah.
Don't say hell yeah for monkey milk.
What, am I a cereal past cut now?
Hell yeah.
For monkey milk.
I would love to see, not like a mascot version of you, just literally a picture of you doing like the whole like I'm strong arm thing on the box of something called monkey milk.
Hell yeah. I'm going to call it milk though.
Monkey milk. That just sounds like you're gagging on the monkey milk halfway through the sentence.
Monkey milk.
Hell yeah, monkey milk.
I mean, it wouldn't be good, but frankly, I don't think cow milk's good either.
It's not.
I think that anyone that drinks milk and enjoys cheese just has to pretend they're not eating what they're eating.
Oh, and enjoys cheese?
Yeah, because that's milk.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Do you think about food or no?
No, I just eat these candies.
I will say in answer to the question, I would plant a ground cover in your flower beds.
A ground cover?
Yeah, plant something that's going to cover the soil that the grass keeps trying to grow on, and that way it's like a natural solution. You're not having to put like an edge in there. You can mulch it too, but I don't love mulch. Although it does help the soil. I'm sorry, I'm going way too deep on
no,
this.
No, they asked the question.
But this isn't a gardening podcast. Hey guys,
it's not
you
a movie
know
podcast
I, like,
either.
But we don't. I guess we did go pretty deep into Fifth Element.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I and I alone am into.
Kind of like the stones went deep into her.
Into her belly, which they never explain the conventions of.
No need, it's the future. Everyone's
like,
eating stones.
Yeah, someone put a bunch of huge pillars in my belly and I'm fine.
Hey
I'm
man, I signed a contract. I don't know what to do.
Moving my hips like yeah.
What's your current go-to karaoke songs?
Oh, shit.
Which is might be difficult because when's the last time you did karaoke?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, karaoke's tough for me. You love karaoke.
I do.
It's tricky for me. I think probably this is pretty common with people that like are musically trained, that you kind of get in your head about like needing to do a good performance.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to just like be free-spirited up there because you're like calculating if you're doing it well.
I feel like for me, the trick is always just pick some song that has a voice you can like, not like a tone of voice you can do, but just like a, like I, last time I went, I did Mother and you can just go Mother through the whole thing. You don't have to really do it well.
My friend is a karaoke host and one time he pranked me by putting a different song in than I requested. And the song he put in was Blue by Eiffel 65, and the whole bar at the end was booing me. And I was like, I didn't do this. I'm so sorry.
That's incredible.
Don't do that song. That's the one tip I can give
you.
Oh,
absolutely don't. That or Around the World by Daft Punk.
I will fucking end you. You know what else I'm really tired of hearing, although it is very fun to sing?
What?
Total Eclipse of the Heart. It's such a go-to that I'm like, come on, new song.
I do love that song.
It's so, I really need you tonight.
That, I think that is an unpunchable jam of mine.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But also, yeah, it's a two.
I've heard it so many times.
Don't sing that. Definitely don't sing Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah.
Definitely don't fucking sing Sweet Caroline.
Anyone that sings to that is a fucking hack.
I hate them.
I hate them.
I think it should be there should be a list of songs like, do not do these at any karaoke. You know where you are. I think that might be, I'm out of them now.
We're just going to have to start making our own.
I guess we'll have to.
Okay. Whoever talks last, the other person has to make the noise now.
Oh, boy. Okay.
What's your favorite quality about the other? And it's not necessarily podcast specific. It could be anything.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to go first since I asked the question.
Sure.
I feel like that's rude to pimp you out like that. There's a lot of things I like about you, obviously. Why would I be your friend if I didn't? I feel like, how deep do I want to go? I feel like in terms of doing a podcast with you, one of my favorite things is how willing you are to just jump in on a bit.
Mm.
Like, and actually, I guess that kind of applies to the friendship too. There's no judgment. Like if I like drop the bomb with some horrible fucking joke that doesn't land, I'm never feeling like you're going to be like, yikes. Do you know? Because that's a shitty feeling that I think I hear on a lot of podcasts. It's like they're trying to one-up each other. And I'm like, that's not nice.
Although, if I did go yikes, I feel like it would be part of a bit.
That's what I'm saying. There's never a moment where it's going to be a genuine, like, oh, okay.
Embarrassing for you.
Right.
Yeah.
You might call it out, but only to point out how funny it is because it was so dumb.
Right.
It's never going to genuinely just be like, yeah.
Look at what this bitch just tried to do.
Also, that would be actually funny if you said that.
I'm just going to make a sound bite. It's like, this bitch just tried to get a joke off, and it didn't work.
But that's still supportive.
Is it?
That's what I'm saying. Like, truly being unsupportive is just ignoring what I said.
That's true.
And I never really feel like that.
Yeah.
And that's a kindness. Even if it isn't like an intentional kindness, it is a kindness.
Sure, yeah.
That I really genuinely feel in a lot of my, like, no shade, but a lot of my comedian hangs, I don't get that. It feels like it's constantly a fucking one-up contest, and it's exhausting.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I can acknowledge that you just said something really funny. We don't need to, like, I don't need to, like, yes and you to try to get the last laugh. Like,
right.
I can just be like, dude, that's funny.
I have been in conversations where it does feel like when you are just, like, you do that thing where you make jokes off each other back and forth.
Yeah.
And someone is not happy unless they get the last one. I'm just like, you don't need, no, it's fine.
They can't just give it to you. Yeah. They only want to win.
It's weird.
It kind of takes the fun out of it for me.
It's strange.
Yeah, but I do feel that you're very nice about that in real life and on the podcast, and I like that about you.
Thank you. I feel like I've never met anyone that is so good at being conversational and making people feel comfortable when they have just met them. In that, like, there are a lot of times where we will even have podcast guests in the studio, and we'll be, like, waiting downstairs or hanging out. And I'm just like, how is it so easy for you to keep a conversation going with them where it feels like you are just being the nicest person in the world and, like, taking the genuine interest in them? This sounds like a sociopathic thing where it's just like, how do you talk to people? But
I know,
like,
what you're saying because it's a conscious choice.
Yeah.
This does not come naturally to me.
I watch it happen and I'm just kind of like, she's a miracle worker and I don't
know
how.
I'll tell you the secret.
What?
I am a socially anxious person.
Same.
That does not come naturally to me. I did not have friends growing up. What I learned, I mean, I feel like I'm fucking Mark Ruffalo being like, I'm always angry. Like, this is a fucking secret that's going to blow you away. It's going to change your life if you can adopt it into your
routine. Tell me after the at? No, I'm kidding.
I don't even have another break. I don't think so. Okay, here's the secret. Ask questions.
Well, yeah, but it's just kind of like, a lot of times I'll just be like, what do I fucking ask about?
So here's what you do. I think the mistake a lot of people make when they ask questions. Oh, God, I'm realizing now I sound arrogant.
No.
Do I sound arrogant? No. I'm like teaching people how to socialize.
I literally just asked you how to do this.
Okay, I'm suddenly self-conscious. Okay.
Oh, captain, my captain.
Oh, no. Let's not Goodwill Hunting me.
Okay.
Although you can stand on the table if you want.
It's not Goodwill Hunting, by the way. That is
Dead Poets Society. Shit.
Hey, you know what? It's not your fault.
Oh, no.
No, it's not your fault.
Thank you.
It's not your fault.
Thank you. You just made a bad joke. That's where the sound
comes. This bitch just tried to make a joke off, and it didn't work.
So I think the mistake a lot of people make is because a lot of people know to ask questions, but I think they ask like a pocket five questions.
Yeah.
So it'll be like, so what do you do? Oh, cool. Oh, where do you live? Oh, yeah, it's great down there. Nice. How long have you lived in LA?
You are just mirroring to me like dates that I've had. I'm just like, how? Don't well, do this. This is a nightmare.
We're not taught social skills.
Yeah.
I wasn't taught this shit. This is something I kind of just like tested a theory and it worked for me. I've definitely had situations where being too conversational has turned people off to me. It doesn't always work. Certain people are like, fuck, you don't talk to me. But for me, what I've tried to do is you ask someone a question. So maybe you say like, hey, so what do you do? And they start to answer. And even if they give you like a two-word response, you say, do you like it? That's such an easy one for them to go like, oh, right. Okay. And all of a sudden their guard is down because they're not used to opening up about this. And then you're having a real conversation. You just literally cut out the small talk within seconds.
Sure.
I guess I don't need to explain it. I just feel like this is something that like I think about. And so I'm like, if it's anyone else thinks about this stuff, maybe it's helpful. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you can just get people talking about shit they're interested in, I find that it's very easy to have a real convo.
I feel like it is easy in certain scenarios. And then like, I get like in my head, I'm like, yeah, on a date, that's doable, whatever. But when it's like someone who it's just like we're here and just like waiting until the studio's open, I'm like, how do we have small talk that doesn't make it seem like I'm just stretched for small talk? I don't know.
No, it's hard.
It's a skill. It's and you're good at it.
Hey, thanks, man.
You're very welcome.
That means a lot to me. That's such a sincere like conversation. It's almost weird.
Yeah.
We got to go back to something dumb.
I don't like being vulnerable. Let's just let me play this clip real quick.
Beverly Hills.
Great segue.
That's where I want to be.
Gimme, gimme.
I hate that. Gimme, gimme.
Gimme, gimme. Question for Demi. If every song is Beverly Hills by Weezer, then doesn't that mean that no song is Beverly Hills by Weezer?
No, that means every song is Beverly Hills by Weezer.
Next question.
Next question.
What's the longest you've spent working on a punch-up? This is going to be embarrassing to answer.
I saw this one and I was like, I don't know how to answer it because I feel like I don't work on them in a way that's like measurable of like, oh, it took me this long.
If you put together all the various hours over time, how many do you think it'd be?
Probably like a solid 24 hours.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
For a podcast we do for free.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's fun.
It is fun. And some of them take like 1 hour.
Yeah. Some of them just come right out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there are times where it's like the fucking Welcome to the Jungle one. I was doing that over the course of 2 weeks.
Yeah. We actually like did episodes out of order to accommodate that.
Yeah.
Because we were like, no, let's spend some time on this one.
Yeah.
But then it's dangerous because you set a precedent that you can't possibly keep up.
Oh, yeah. As soon as I did the National Anthem one, I think I even told you, I was like, I don't want to keep doing that.
No, it's just, you can't justify how much time that takes.
No. And it's fun, but at the same time, I'm like, there are other things that I want to work on, and it's only so fun until, because when you do decide, I'm going to put a lot of work into this, I go, well, then it all needs to be perfect, and that's where the thing.
That's when it kind of goes into, like, wait, this is supposed to be a fun thing.
Yeah. I mean, like, so the version that you guys heard of the National Anthem punch-up is not the one that I played in the studio because I went back and I was like, no, that's not good enough, and I redid parts of it.
Yeah, yeah. That's what, you do that, though.
Yeah, but it's like when it's not just my voice over a thing, then I get nervous about, like, well, I need the music to be better, too.
Yeah, and says the guy that literally is just figuring it out as he goes.
Yeah.
That's insane. You put such high standards on yourself.
Well, another thing about being able to just use your computer to make music is you can just fucking move the notes up and down and just do what... It's literally just like putting blocks into a grid and you go, great. So that's one thing.
Yeah, but like you're saying this as though everyone has your genius brain and people don't.
It's not a genius brain.
Okay. that's what a genius would say.
I don't think it is.
I know you hate being called a genius. I'm sorry.
I don't hate it.
I will say, I this is a different question, but I'm a shoehorning in. Do you have a producer or do you do it all yourselves? We literally do it all ourselves.
We do it all ourselves.
Every single thing we do ourselves.
Yeah.
We book the studio time. We arrange with the guests. We find a time. We come here. We record it ourselves. We transfer our footage or whatever you call it when it's audio.
Yeah.
We edit it ourselves. Mm-hmm. We add in all this stuff. We update it. We write the descriptions. We take the pictures. Demi Photoshops those pictures every single week.
Yep.
It's a ton of work.
It is so much work that it doesn't make sense for us to also do other things. And yet we do.
I know. I'm like, yo, we should probably like start monetizing this to kind of justify how much time we spend on it.
Yeah, or at least so that we could hire someone to take one of the things off.
Just a producer would be great.
Yeah.
I also will say, I want to shout out, we still don't have a name, the Jam Jams.
I like that we don't have a name because I think it's funnier to just make a new one every time. And okay, because go. The idea of having one name is just like, I don't want to.
It
weird.
Feels like kind of exploitive.
Yes.
You name one.
I don't know. I really like the Jam Jams.
So I will say, thanks Jam Jams for not holding us to the impossible standards that we've occasionally set when we spend a shit ton of time on a punch up.
Yes.
That is super nice. I feel like it easily could go that way where people were like, I don't know. You guys need to do more like Welcome to the Jungle.
And I feel like people understand that doing anything at all like that is so unnecessary and most podcasts don't add like an original content thing.
Yeah, I think we're already doing a lot, right?
So people are just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Just keep going.
Well, I appreciate it.
I appreciate it too. Thanks, Jam Jams.
Thanks, Jam Jams.
Is that your end of the question sound?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything you listen to that you're truly embarrassed about?
Oh, so many things.
Really?
Well, less so now as I've gotten older. Mm-hmm. I think I've really tried to, like, I've worked really hard to let go of my shame.
Yeah.
We're really getting into just fucking therapy right yeah. now.
Where do you think that shame came from? No, I'm kidding.
Well, I was overweight growing up.
Word.
I didn't have a lot of friends. I was homeschooled and I joined school late.
Damn.
Sidebar, totally unrelated, but very interesting and have not even told anyone this. Guess who DM'd me casually as if we were friends on Instagram the other day?
George Bush.
Yes, dude.
What the fuck?
He was like, hey, can I paint you? And I was like, absolutely.
George, yes.
I've been dying to be painted by you. Also, still don't forgive you for all of your atrocities.
It's okay, as long as I can paint you.
Halliburton profited on the Iraq war. Never forget.
Hey, you know it, I know it. I'm just painting now. Wait, who was it?
It was my elementary school bully who what? I have not, literally, she bullied the shit out of me and then moved. Have not seen or communicated with her since.
Oof.
And she DM'd me to be like, haha, those were the days, am I right? Hope you're well. And I was like, girl, do you think for a second you can just slide in and pretend you didn't do what we both know you did? In what fucking world?
Did you respond to her?
Hell fucking no. I'm leaving her on a red forever.
Oof.
In fact, you know what? I didn't even accept the DM. I was like, you're staying in my other folder.
Ooh.
That's how I feel about you. If you want to come correct and say, hey, by the way, I felt really shitty about the things I said and did to you for like 20 years now. I don't know if you remember. I just wanted to say I was fucked up. I'm Oof. Sorry about that. Then absolutely except hey wow it's so nice of you by the way how have you been that's so crazy I didn't know you followed me awesome sure totally open the door when she comes in the front fucking door
right
you don't get to come in the back door and be like hey remember how I burned your house down anyway I brought lemonade
that's
fuck
like a
off.
10th date kind of deal
yes right I'm mad now sweating what was the question
have any of your bullies ever contacted you No, is there anything you listen to that you're truly embarrassed about?
Oh, right, with shame tangent.
Right.
That's how many times I've done that. Yeah,
this entire show should just be called Shame Tangent.
I mean, isn't that what it is?
Shame Tangent is also a great name for a band.
Shame Tangent?
Yeah.
Dude, should we
Wait,
make
no,
a band?
Shame Tangent sounds like a YouTube star. Like, hey, what's up? My name's Shame Tangent.
I just found out there's a YouTuber named Dax Flame, so I feel like anything's possible.
Oh, yeah, there is. I cannot believe you don't know Dax Flame.
Again, I grew up on an island, and I'm a little older than you. I missed the boat on a lot of things.
I just, when you said Dax Flame the other day, I almost wanted to scream. I was like, how his name, it persists.
Like, as if saying it, he suddenly appears.
Yeah. Anyway.
As a kid, I was really embarrassed of liking pop music because I was a punk kid.
Sure.
And I still was like, yeah, fucking NoFX is sick. Yeah. And then like quietly being like, she's so lucky. Like,
yeah.
For sure. Now I feel like it's so shitty if you shame people for liking music. It's
There's
not there
nothing I can think of that I listen to where I'm like, I don't want people to know about this.
Yeah. We're both pretty like open about our eclectic music tastes.
Yeah.
But I will say something I am embarrassed about the music I listen to, is that I am the most annoying type of person when I find a song I like and that I listen to it 100 times in a row.
Oh, same. Like, My Last FM is fucking gross.
Destroyed. Like, I'll be like, Alexa, play Runaway with me. And then it ends, and I'm like, Alexa, repeat song. I will just do that 30 times in a row.
My starred playlist is so funny because I'll just I'll get to a point where I'm just kind of like, I've listened to the same song over and over, and then I'll just like scroll down and be like, no, I listened to that one like a million times too. And it's like, I've got to go so far to find a song where it's like, I didn't already listen to that 100 times in one day.
And it's so damaging because then you burn yourself out on the fucking song.
Yeah. Although there's always that moment where like it's passed and then you listen to it again, you're like, yeah, that was a good song.
Well, I want to ask a question. What's a song that's recently happened for you where you're like, I can listen to that again now?
Well, let me just pull up my Last FM, which is what I was doing before. What the fuck?
Tell me, what is that?
That was St. Vincent's Laughing with a Mouthful of Blood, which was not intentional
for me to play. I
thought
it was
going to
be a Folgers commercial.
Oh, that would be great. A song recently that happened with is when Radiohead re-released OK Computer last year with like 3 new tracks, I wore those tracks the fuck out.
Oh, yeah, to the bone.
Yes. A lot of things that I'll do also is I will ascribe a song to like a feeling or like imagery.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I'm working on something or like I have an idea for a movie and I'm taking notes for it, I will think about how the song can be used for like a trailer for that movie.
Yes!
All the goddamn time. And then I can't stop thinking about that song and how it plays to those images.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm just like, well, this is just all I can think about with that now. And that happened with me for Lift. Like in my head, what I picture for that is like a man on his deathbed who then like goes into his dreams and he's just like, it's literally like his like trip through his life and he's just smiling, walking through all these memories and it's like, oh, my kids are here. Oh, my wife is here. Just going through a series of doors
and
how.
That's fucking sad.
No, it's uplifting to me. I think.
Jesus.
No, but it's like, I mean, yeah, death is sad, but he's
that
smiling
like
through it.
That sounds like the Six Feet Under finale.
It kind of, I feel like it's like that and the Lost finale where it's like, we're all back together in this place where we've died.
Oh,
but I think
fuck.
Of it in terms of this song, and it's very an uplifting song, and it makes me happy. And I can listen to it again now that it's been so long, but I still have those images attached to it.
You just basically exposed yourself as not having existential dread.
I mean, when we first met, that was my entire thing.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't.
And now
go
I'm
there.
Just kind of like, yeah, every so
death
often.
Death is cool now.
Death is.
Mortality? Yes, please.
I want it. it's like, I still have existential dread, but I think a lot of things that, I mean, even with Radiohead alone, people are like, that's a sad band. I'm like, there's not one song of Radiohead's that makes me sad.
Oof, really?
Not one.
No surprises?
No, I like that song. It makes me happy.
You're fucked up.
I'm...
You're fucked up.
I'm a little bit crazy.
I'm twisted.
I'm a weirdo. You see this tattoo on my forehead that says damaged? That's me because, you know, I see people get hurt and I laugh.
Oh my God, you love Sum 41 too.
I sure do. You don't know me at all. I laugh when old people fall.
Penny Whistle.
Yeah.
Love that. This is a personal question.
Ooh.
They say, I've been noticing a dip in the quality of my work recently. And I want to know if you guys have any tips or techniques for getting the ball rolling with ideas.
Oh, I saw this one and I didn't see the my work. And I was like, what the fuck you, dude? Been noticing a dip in quality in the podcast lately.
I would also like to combine this with another question. That is, how do you generate ideas and deal with puncher uppers block? I feel like they're kind of adjacent.
Yeah.
I guess, too, it's just a more broad question for anyone that works in a creative field or is trying to. If you're just feeling uninspired and everything you do is sucking, and maybe even objectively is bad, how do you possibly push through that? I feel like we're equipped to answer that at least a little bit.
Yeah.
What's worked for us?
I feel like it helps to get my mind in a space where I'm not thinking about that, but I am thinking creatively. So,
yeah.
Like, going to hang out with someone where I know, like, I riff a lot with them or, like, just talk a lot in a way that's, like, we joke about a thing that might not necessarily be applicable is helpful.
Yeah.
So then a lot of times you come up with things that you're like, that isn't the same as that. But with a few changes, I'm like, oh, it does kind of fit in. And then your mind's back into.
Yeah. I think like a common misconception, especially with our generation, is that like if you're not actively working on something, you're fucking up.
Right.
Like you're a piece of shit. Like how often are you like, I can't really take time off. I haven't done enough. And so you're constantly like beating yourself up for not using your 3 hours at the end of the day to rewrite that script when like you just got off work or whatever. I personally think that the thing that people keep forgetting is that half of a creative brain, half of a creative brain is juniper berries.
Oh, I was like, Brian? Who's Creative Brian?
You don't know Creative Brian?
No.
Oh, dude.
I gotta meet Creative Brian.
I'll give you his number. He's been instrumental in my career.
Damn.
part of the creative brain, I think, is the absorption. Like, we are so quick to be like, output, 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 output. But half of it is input. Like, what's that old thing they say about writers? Yeah, maybe to you it looks like I'm just laying on the couch watching TV for 7 hours, but I'm actually working. I know that that's, like, an easy way to lie about not doing anything.
Yeah.
But I actually think there's some truth to that.
Someone tweeted the other day, it's like, they laugh about how their mom was like, oh, I was watching TV, gonna pay the bills, and now they're, like, a TV writer. It's like, yeah, I did.
Because I think you need to feed the brain. You can't just constantly expect to be fed by it.
Right.
Like, you need to say, you know what, brain? Time to clock out for the day. Let's just go enjoy some things.
Right.
Because think about it. When you first started realizing you were a creative person and you wanted to make things, did it come because you were forcing it? Did it come because you were like, I want to be a writer. Now I got to write something good. Like,
no.
Probably you just had an idea that popped in and you were like, I like that. And in order to get in the right headspace to allow ideas to pop in, you need to let yourself relax.
Yeah.
You need to fucking do things. Which shoehorns right into another question, which is, what do you do in your free time in LA?
Oh, God. The thing is, anytime anyone comes to LA and it's just kind of like, what are we going to do? I'm always just like, I don't fucking know. I don't do shit.
You do so many things. Do you want me to answer for you?
Sure.
Okay. You take yourself to karaoke by yourself.
Yes.
You go to bars alone.
Yeah.
You go on walks around your neighborhood.
These are all the same thing, essentially. Like, I walk to the karaoke bar alone.
I guess. You go to movies all the time.
I do go to movies a lot.
What's your favorite theater?
I really love the Arclight.
Yeah.
But I also love the Vista, although I wish it was fucking assigned seating, just in terms of, like, how easy it would be to... It's
buy
hard
a ticket.
To see, yeah.
You also go roller skating a lot?
I do go roller skating a lot.
And you go to a rehearsal space and play drums sometimes.
I do that.
You do a ton of things.
I do a lot of things that are like, well, I'll do this alone or if a friend asks me. But I always, it's like, they aren't things that I can, it's hard. I feel like when I hear this question, I'm just kind of like, oh, you're asking for what things you could do in LA. I'm like, well, these are just things that I do that are not really like, let's go as a group. Yeah, what do you do in LA?
Well,
and just to put a cap on the creativity question. Yeah, just enjoy other creative works or relax and allow yourself to not have to be creative for a while. I do find that a lot of times I'll watch movies and then start getting to a headspace where I'm just thinking about either my creative thing or how I would do the movie.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, well, now it's time to go back to work.
Yeah, and a lot of good projects start as like adaptations of existing projects.
Yeah.
I think we've said that before, but that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
Probably my most frequented thing I do in my free time is walk down to the like cool street near my house and get food or just like... people watch. I love going on just like a night walk with my dog and getting some yummy ass vegan food down in the middle of things. I don't want to say the street because I'm like, I don't want people to know where I live. But there's a street in my neighborhood that is like covered
Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah. Oh, Sunset Boulevard. Covered in cool ass vegan restaurants and taco trucks and shit. And it's just like, it's a very fun activity. I also really like to get outside of the city as much as I can.
Yeah.
I really struggle living in a metropolis, being from like a remote area. So if I don't like leave town at least for like a day every month, I kind of start to lose my shit.
Right.
But I guess the question was, what do you do for your spare time in LA?
Well, I like to leave LA and go to New York, where I...
I like to... there's some good hikes around LA that not many people know about. Like Switzer Falls is fucking sick.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's a waterfall 20 minutes outside of LA.
What?
Yeah, and like the mountains. Like you can't even see civilization.
Oh, that's crazy.
20 minutes away.
Wow, that sounds like someone's MP3 player just got fucked up. And also like... a weird accent that I'm like, how do I feel about it? Even though it wasn't.
Oh, it sounded kind of racist.
I mean, yes, but I know it wasn't.
I think this should probably be our last question.
Okay.
What do you want to end it on? Last question for real.
What is your favorite movie that you're embarrassed to watch with someone you just started dating? Is
that... Ooh, that's a spicy question.
As much as I'm not embarrassed of any of my song choices, sometimes I am just kind of like, I'm embarrassed about this movie. Even though it's like... often critically acclaimed movies, I'll be like, yeah, I like that one.
Well, what is one?
Well, like Hot Rod.
You're embarrassed about Hot Rod?
I'm not. Like, I'm so
open.
It's very
accepted.
It is very accepted, but anytime I show it to someone who has not seen it, I feel like I need to put a bunch of caveats on it. Of like, it's a very goofy movie. If you don't like it, we can stop. It's silly. It's just a very funny. I'm just like, it's just silly. Don't look for anything more than silliness in it.
You were very mad at me for falling asleep.
Yeah, I was.
Watching Hot Rod.
You fell asleep almost instantly.
Yeah, it put me to sleep. It was a great little lullaby.
Oh, boy.
I will say...
Oh,
and
just La La Land. I'm always like...
Oh, you should be embarrassed about that
one. I am not, and I refuse to be. And you weren't. You liked it when we saw it first.
Oh, yes. And then the second it got so much acclaim, I was like, Oh, no, we've passed the point of, no. This isn't what was supposed to happen.
It's good.
It's good, yes. Should it be Best Picture?
No.
No.
And it didn't get Best Picture, so we're good.
It shouldn't have been fucking nominated.
Yes, it should have. Hacksaw Ridge was nominated.
Yeah, and that was also bullshit. Two wrongs don't make a right.
There were like six wrongs that year. There are always like half.
Guess what? We should be the Academy.
I don't think we should. People will not be happy about my picks for any Best Picture.
I should be the Academy.
Yeah, okay.
Academy. Oh, hey, oh. It has a ring to it. They should
Although,
do it.
Although, Academy.
Oh, that's true. It's you. It's you.
Do it.
You are the prophetical son.
Hot Rod, Best Picture. 2019.
I grew up
on an island, we know.
Watching one movie over and over again on Laserdisc. And for a long time, I thought it was kind of the pinnacle of cinema.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, no, it wasn't.
Which is?
James Cameron's The Abyss.
Wow.
Holy shit, what? I've seen that movie so many times.
Isn't that movie from like 2002?
No. That movie's probably from like 1991.
Huh. Or Ghost Ship?
Different movie.
Yeah.
Very different.
The Abyss was 1989. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ghost Ship was 2002.
No, The Abyss is like, they go super deep underwater. I don't know. I'm not going to give you the premise, but the CGI is real bad.
89 on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know.
Well,
as far as I'm concerned, James Cameron doesn't have a movie that is awful.
Okay.
I'm saying it.
Okay, you should have chosen for the movie you like. You're embarrassed about Avatar.
I don't love Avatar. I don't. I think it's funny. I think it is very, very funny that it is the most successful movie and no one gives a shit about it that we know of.
Yeah, no, but I don't know a single person likes Avatar.
But at the same time, like, I know everything that happens in Avatar and I saw it once.
I see you, Jake Sully.
I will
say, maybe to like put a perfect little wrap on this, a movie that I still really enjoy, even though it's very fucking problematic, is The Fifth Element.
Sure.
Like, I tried to show a boyfriend when we first started dating. I was like, oh man, you've never seen it? We gotta watch it. And then I forgot about this scene where Leeloo falls into Bruce Willis's cab, unconscious, and he's like, I'm gonna kiss her.
Yeah.
And he kisses her. Also, the age disparity between them is like, maybe 20 years.
Yeah.
And he kisses her on the fucking mouth. And they try to be like, nah, but it's okay though. Because then she puts a gun to his head and is like, never without my permission. But I'm like, okay, so she's cool. He still fucking sucks.
He's still the hero of the movie though.
Yes. And he's still, and then ultimately she's like this badass fucking other world supreme being. And he still has to save her. Because all she needs is your love. I can't. You wrote a badass character that you turn into a damsel.
Well, Luc Besson is not good with young. He has a fucking history.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's not a good movie to like.
No, and it's a bummer.
But it's so enjoyable!
Because Leon the Professional is also a great movie, but they purposefully are like, there's no romance thing here with Natalie Portman and Jean Reno. But then he himself dated a 15-year-old girl and I think got her pregnant. He's just fucking
unforgivable.
Yeah.
I can't hang.
There's so many great movies that I'm just like, but the fucking, it's tainted now.
I know.
Every time I think about Rush Hour and how like instrumental that was to me growing up, I'm like, fuck Brett Ratner though. But
yeah,
also it's still,
but Rush Hour,
it's good.
Yeah.
I recently watched the first one. I was like, this is still good and not, it's like problematic, but yeah, on the level you expect it to be, it's not that problematic.
Yeah, yeah. I know. We do have to start like recontextualizing art we used to love now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer. It's just complicated.
I am afraid to watch Grease ever again.
Oh, brother. Are you kidding?
Well, it's
did
like,
she put up a fight?
Yes, that is the obvious stuff. But I'm like, how much else is there?
Rizzo, her whole plot line is fucked.
Yeah.
Frenchie, everything. I'm just like,
Grease was one of my favorite movies as a kid. Same with Grease 2. I loved that shit.
This is shocking to me, since up until like 2 years ago, you were staunchly anti-musical.
Correct. What a turn I've
made. And now you're like, I love La La Land. I saw Hamilton with the original cast.
Hamilton.
I don't understand.
I am coming into myself and just loving me as an adult.
It's been such a privilege to see your growth.
Thank you so much.
Hey, if you made it to this far in this episode, I'm like really proud of you.
Yeah.
This was a lot. This was like a lot of detours. This was only detours.
You pretty much just signed up to listen to a bunch of detours.
Yeah, you took the road less traveled by.
Right.
I'm really impressed.
Robert Frost, listening ass.
I hope it was like moderately enjoyable. I feel kind of like an egomaniac talking about ourselves for 2 hours.
Yeah, these are, I don't want the thing is, I don't want to ever do a podcast that's just this.
Oh, God, no.
No.
No,
and even
I would
doing
hate
this,
myself.
I'm like, well, maybe in another 40 episodes,
yeah,
if that.
Maybe. But yeah. It's a self-indulgence for sure.
For sure.
I hope it was enjoyable.
I hope you liked it.
I know people have had questions, and I was like, maybe this is a service. But if it just was like an egomaniacal practice in narcissism, I'm so sorry.
It's fine. You don't have to listen to it.
Oh, my God. Cute little break in your voice.
It's fine. It's fine.
Demi, thanks for doing this podcast with me.
Oh, my God. Thank you for doing this podcast with me. Miel, where can people find you?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for making it not sincere anymore. at Miel or at Miel Monster.
Oh, wait. Well, that was a sincere thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you meant like doing this podcast just in general?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, thanks for doing this podcast with me. You're my best friend and I love you.
Stop! No, I'm going to cry! I'm not going to cry on my own podcast.
Just kidding, punk ass.
Well, Demi, where can people find you?
You can find me and my dick on... at Electra Lemon.
Yeah, it's a cool name.
Yeah. That's... and an even cooler dick.
You should make that your bio.
Cool name, even cooler dick.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
See what happens.
You know what? I'm rejoining Tinder. It's time.
You're going to get hired to like write on the Jim Jefferies show.
Fucking hell. Where can people find you?
You already asked me that.
Did you answer it?
Yes.
I thought you said mine. Okay.
No, he answered.
All right. Whatever.
The
we're out of here.
Sincerity put you in a fugue state.
Yeah. The fucking Men in Black pen came up. It's like, don't do that again.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, that was
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.